You're on Alive 90.5 and it's Darren and Jim on Spotlight. We're absolutely delighted to have on the phone, Darren, a very good friend, a great businessman and a great entrepreneur, John Grimer from Kellyville Pets. I'm excited to hear what his story is.
So am I. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? What a really nice intro, Jim.
Oh, well, it's true. John, you and I have had a relationship for probably more than 20 years, and I've seen the journey in which you've come as a young man into business and to develop the maturity of yourself, your family, and also the business world in which you operate. You're a great innovator, and I want to go back in a historical sense and understand how you have grown through that process. John, you started, it is my understanding, you had business acumen at a very young age, selling animals at, I think, 10 or 12 years of age. Am I correct?
Yeah, I've actually never had a job. I've never actually worked for anybody else. I was fortunate that my parents owned a farm and I grew up on a farm, you know, breeding animals and keeping all various animals from, you know, blue-tongue lizards to cows and all kinds of things. And I was really interested in pets. And started at a very young age. I was about 15 or so when I started selling pets, pretty much when I started my pet shop. The rest is history. So I learned the hard way, you know, I had to get out there and teach everything myself. But when you've got a passion for something, you know, you're really interested to learn, and that I was, you know, So yeah, it's been a really, really good and really interesting journey. I still love it every day, 35 years later. So.
John, it's Darren here. So no doubt you've had many pets across your time. What was your first pet?
We had Rocky the cattle dog. That was our family pet. I can't really claim him as my own. But I had, I distinctly remember I had this pair of ducks called Hansel and Gretel. They were Muscovy ducks. And I remember, you know how things etch in your mind when you're young. And one of them was Hansel was sitting on eggs, and I didn't want to go to school that day because they were due to hatch that day. But Dad made me go to school. But when I came home that afternoon, Hansel had about 20 little hatchling ducklings, and that was sort of one of my highlights of my younger years. So, but yeah, I used to love looking at birds and breeding budgies. You know, we had goats and we had chickens and all kinds of a menagerie. And I used to go looking for blue tongues and pick them up and have a look at them and let them go again. And Mum used to be frightened I was going to try and pick up a red-bellied black snake or something one day, but I was smart enough to keep away from those ones.
John, what is your favourite animal and why? What do they give you that other animals mightn't? Or is there an array of them? What do they give you?
There's definitely an array. You know, got a little bit of a menagerie at home, not too bad, but you know, I keep a lot of reptiles myself because I find they're very fascinating creatures, and they're people underestimate how beautiful they are, and you know, I've got a few snakes at home as pets. We have 5 dogs living at our place at the moment, absolutely love, you know, sitting on the lounge with 5 dogs sitting on your lap watching TV with you. You know, we've got turtles, we've got I've got Poch the cockatoo that I've had for nearly as long as my shop. He lives at my place now. He's a very special bird to me. He lives at our place. He's not allowed to live at the shop anymore because work health and safety said he's a bit of a liability because he likes little children's fingers. But he lives at our place. I don't really have one standout favourite because I love all creatures, and you know, whether it be a fish or a budgerigar or a bird or whatever, you know, I think they're all beautiful.
John, and I can say this because I know you very well. Your parents were incredible people, and they taught you many things as well. What do you think they taught you in terms of who John Grimer is today? What do you take away from that part of the journey of your life?
Look, I'm really appreciative that we actually had, my dad was actually a GP, but we had a farm as well. And, you know, growing up on the farm, you know, exposing me to that, you know, taught me a lot of things about life, you know, about life and death and disappointment and heartache, but also about, you know, the positive side of keeping animals, you know, the stress relief it gives you, you know, just a, the wonderful thing. Dad was always a very hard worker, you know, CP used to also have a farm and weekends we used to work in that. It was a very exciting time. But Dad, one of Dad's favourite sayings is, an early bird catches the first worm, and, I'm an early riser. I'm up and out at 4 or 5 o'clock every morning. Can't wait to start the day and try to make sure it unfolds. But also about, honesty and integrity as well. In business you need honesty and integrity, or in life you need honesty and integrity.
John, the reason I ask you that, because anyone who lives in Sydney, and particularly Western Sydney, knows of Kellyville Pets. You have a great brand, and it's a great icon, and it's an amazing building. It's an experience that whenever you go there, like today, will be absolutely packed. No matter what time of the day or what days, it will be really, really busy with people because you provide a really wonderful experience. The interesting thing for me is that you have a great love for your staff. You and I have spoken many times about the importance of staff in your business. Tell us about that and your process and how you come to get such quality staff, because every time you go into your place of work, there's a smile on everybody's face, and I genuinely mean that. They love coming to work.
Yeah, look, that's very true. I mean, our team culture is up there. If you hire the right people, I mean, the first thing we look for when we're hiring people is they've got to have a passion for whatever category of pets they like. You know, some like reptiles more, some like aquarium fish, some like dogs. You find out what their passion is, and that's the area to put them in. You know, it's no good getting the fluffy puppy person to go and work in the reptile section, because if they don't have a passion in that area, they're never going to thrive, and they're never going to portray that education to our customers. It's right, you know, my staff will come in on their days off, they'll come in early. They just love coming to work. I mean, it's a great place to work. It's hard work. People often think it's just about patting dogs all day and looking at fish, but it's hard work. So they start at 7 o'clock every morning. Animals have to be fed and cleaned and looked after, and there's a lot of hard work goes into it, but it's work that they love with a passion. And if you've got a team of people that work for you and have the passion for your business, then I don't need to be there every day, because I know that they're going to look after our customers and our pets just like I would. And that's the secret of our success, of our store, is that our team is truly, truly dedicated to not only our business, but the cause, because they love getting a buzz out of seeing a customer walk out with their first pet. And it's the right pet for them. You know, we're very big on matching the right pet with the right person. Because if you get the wrong pet to the wrong person, then that pet doesn't have a very good life, because, you know, it's in the wrong home, and then that owner doesn't get a good experience. And therefore, you know, nobody wins. But if someone's ready to buy a pet, and whether it be an aquarium or a puppy or a bird, if it's the right match for them, then they're going to love and cherish that animal for the rest of their lives, and it's never going to end up in a shelter and so forth. So our team culture is number one, and making sure that we've got the right people on the ground to actually educate our customers.
And that comes through. Can I congratulate you and your executive on providing an experience whenever you go there? People are always in a very positive way and excited. So it comes through, and I congratulate you for your approach in making that experience fantastic. It doesn't matter what age of people you see. You'll see people much older than me and much younger, all enjoying an experience in relation to animals. John, you have a fascination with snakes. I've got to admit to our listeners, I do not like snakes. It's out of all the animals, it's something I just can't warm to. What fascinates you about them, and what are you learning from them?
I think, and you actually just provided me with a challenge there, Jim. I think I might get you to like snakes someday.
Okay.
Converted many people.
Good luck.
I'd like to convert many people.
Maybe next time we'll have you in the studio, and you can bring a snake in for Jim.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I can bring more than one if you like.
Oh, wonderful.
I welcome that.
Great challenge.
So I think, the issue with snakes is that from a very young age, you know, our grandparents and our parents told us, you know, a good snake's a dead snake because they fear them, because, you know, people die from getting bitten by a venomous snake. So there's always that fear that's been taught to us from a very young age. But people who I know keep snakes or reptiles in general, and certainly myself, you know, they're a fascinating animal. Like, if you look at their physiology and how they move around, what they can climb and how they climb, and the different colours you can get. I mean, I don't keep any venomous snakes. They're all pythons. They're all very friendly snakes. None of them will bite you. You can pick them up and hold them.
That's
company. You know, they're not going to cuddle up to you like a dog, but you know, but they're happy to sit there on your lap. And the other beauty about them is that for people who are busy, reptiles don't care whether they're handled once a day or once a month. You know, if you've got a dog, you've got to walk it every day. You've got to cuddle it every day. It's a highly sentient being. It requires a lot of attention. Whereas snakes, you know, they're happy to be picked up. They're not stressed when you pick them up, but they're happy to just sit in their enclosure all day as well. Because that's what they do in the wild. They basically sit around in small pockets, and just basically sit there all day. So they make a great pet. And the other thing about a snake is it's not just about them as a pet, but it's the environment you create for them. So you can create like a really cool ecosystem with a rock wall and a planted system that looks really great in your living room, and it becomes a bit of a feature. Many people do that. It's not an animal you just keep in a cage and just look at it. It's about creating the ecosystem for it, and having it living in that ecosystem.
Yeah, well, thanks for sharing that with us, because I know you do have a fondness for snakes. One last question I'd like to ask you, John. I read with some interest that a number of smaller pets are sometimes smuggled out of Australia because of the uniqueness of them. Tell me about that. That must sadden you when you see that taking place.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, it's happened for a very, very long time, but thankfully Australia has tightened up its border patrol, but I'm sure animals still come in and out. The unfortunate thing is that, you know, some of our animals overseas are valuable, particularly like with animals like reptiles, and they're highly sought for. And unfortunately, you get unscrupulous people who will try and smuggle them out of the country or into the country, just to make a fast dollar, which is not really good. Australia's very lucky though, because if you look at Europe, all their countries are very connected. It's very hard to control their borders, whereas we've got a physical barrier, which makes it more difficult, which is great in a way. And the other thing is, these guys that smuggle animals into the country, they risk bringing in disease that can harm our native wildlife and our own pets over here. I think it's a very bad practice.
Thank you for that, John. I really appreciate your thoughts in relation to your philosophy on that not being something that's valuable, yeah. or that... John, we've run out of time. I can't believe how quickly time has gone by. I'm going to take up that challenge with you coming to our studios and bring a couple of snakes in, and we'll talk about them and venom and all of those particular aspects. And would you please accept our invitation?
Absolutely. Anytime.
Tell me, because I won't be there. Darren will do that show, but no, I'll be there.
Jim will be chained to the chair in the studio, so he doesn't run away anywhere.
John, thank you. John, I just want to summarise by simply saying thank you for what you do for our community. You employ many, many people. You give them dreams and hopes, and you give families a wonderful experience that they can share individually and as a family. And on behalf of 90.5, Darren and myself, thank you for being with us this morning. We've really enjoyed speaking with you, and I'm delighted to call you my friend.
Thank you, Jim. It's very, very good to be on the show, and anytime. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Alive 90.5.